This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, May 10th, 2010. I'm Caleb Brown. President Obama has named Solicitor General Elena Kagan as his next pick for the U.S. Supreme Court. Ilya Shapiro, senior fellow at the Cato Institute and editor of the Cato Supreme Court Review, offers his assessment.
She's the first female Solicitor General, meaning the government's representative at the Supreme Court. Before that, she was the first female dean of Harvard Law School, where she did a wonderful job as an administrator, hired some conservative faculty, promoted collegiality, built some bridges, improved student life, was just a very good dean and respected by faculty and others on both sides or all sides of the ideological spectrum. Before that, she practiced law briefly at a firm at a good firm in D.C., was in the Clinton administration's White House counsel's office, was a professor at the University of Chicago and Harvard, has a distinguished, prestigious record, clerked for Thurgood Marshall on the Supreme Court, did a stint in Oxford. Anyway, you know, had a lot of credentials. She hasn't published as much as most professors of her standing. That's probably in part because she was thinking, not even in the back of her mind, in the front of her mind, that she wanted to be a Supreme Court justice or at least a judge and didn't want to write anything that was controversial. So her few law review articles are strong, but not really indicative of how she would rule on the hot issues of the day.
All right. So we're back to sort of square one for Supreme Court nominees answering questions vaguely with, in some cases, deep records. Her record is fairly thin in terms of just articulating opinion.
That's right and wrong. I mean, she's not a cipher. She's a standard liberal, not nearly as radical or as bad as Obama could have nominated. I mean, he could have gone with Harold Coe or Cass Sunstein or somebody. But I don't think we'll gain much out of the confirmation hearings. It'll be another process of saying a lot without saying very much. And she is politically savvy and courteous and judicious, if you will. So we'll probably learn more about her personality and her intellect, but I can't see her, you know, coming down one way or the other on the constitutionality of Obamacare, for example, or what exactly the president can do with detainees captured in Afghanistan or something like this.
In light of that, can any comparison be drawn between her and John Paul Stevens?
She'll be similar to him on a lot of issues. Because of her views on executive power in this law review article called Presidential Administration that she wrote, as well as her time in the executive branch and defending the Obama administration's policies, it's possible that she would be more solicitous to the executive on foreign affairs. That's just speculation, nothing to exactly indicate that. A little interesting wrinkle is her performance in the year that she spent as Solicitor General so far. She's argued 5 cases to date, lost 3 of them, and 2 more decisions are yet to come down. Not necessarily because she was a bad advocate, although I would argue that she's probably actually better suited to be a judge than to be an advocate. But in Citizens United, the campaign finance case, and United States versus Stevens, the depiction of animal cruelty, First Amendment case, she took positions that I would say were not strategically sound. I mean, she could have defended the government's position and the laws that were being challenged without taking positions that I think were legally weak and probably lost what support she could have had. In Citizens United, for example, she rejected the rationale that the court used in the 1990 case of Austin versus Chamber of Commerce, the one that was being relied on, that the court was considering whether to overturn or not. Now, as soon as she abandoned that rationale, which, by the way, is the same one that President Obama likes about having corporate interests not drown the voices of individuals, you know, this equal playing field, you know, she said that that was not right. As soon as she abandoned that, then there was no further reason for the court to uphold that old case. So that might have been a strategic flaw. And then in the United States versus Stevens, she essentially said that the protection for free speech varies inversely to the social value of that speech. So it's kind of a balancing test that I guess judges are supposed to make. And that's dangerous because it's the unpopular, controversial speech that precisely deserves more protections. And indeed, in her writings on the First Amendment, she actually has written a fair bit about the First Amendment. She comes out in favor of censoring certain types of hate speech and other types of what she calls harmful speech. So that's one area I think that the senators might gain traction if they probe deeper. One thing that is being talked about, I've been watching various networks all morning, this issue about her not having judicial experience. I think that's actually a plus. It used to be actually unusual that we had a full bench of former judges, but now it's been almost four decades since William Rehnquist was nominated straight from the executive branch, like Kagan is. I think it's good to have justices still being lawyers, but from different walks of life. Now, that doesn't mean she's got the common touch of a local politician or something like this. She has spent all of her time, if not in the judicial monastery, then in the ivory tower or in the government, you know, not exactly glad handling with the ordinary citizens. But hopefully it will add a different perspective. So, you know, from our position, maybe we'll be disagreeing with the standard pro-government line in a slightly different way, which you know might make our job a little more interesting if equally glum.
Ilya Shapiro is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute and editor of the Cato Supreme Court Review. You can get your copy of the latest review at cato.org.